You're listening to the Netmums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
I remember when I finally revealed that I was going to be having a baby and I was doing it by myself. Oh my gosh, the outpouring of support that I received from single mums was incredible. Like, I almost think that when you become a single mum, you become part of this club. Like, we all just gravitate to each other.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Netmums podcast. Now, what I was going to talk to you all about this morning was that I'm a little bit fed up that it's not spring yet. Well, not proper spring. But I'm now going to talk to you about the fact that don't you just hate it when you get that call? You're really busy, you're at work, you're doing something and the school calls. And I've just had that call to say your little girl's got a cough. Could you go and collect her? So I've rallied the troops and someone's going to get her. But I don't know, it just... Do you get that sinking feeling when you get that call?
I get the sinking feeling, but also I then get the guilt. I feel like, oh no, I'm being judged by like the teachers and the teachers.
Yeah, assistants. Should I have sent her in?
Should I have sent them in?
Oh, have I done the wrong thing?
Yeah. It's not nice. The thing is, everybody else sends their kids in because that's why our kids get ill, because of everyone's like, you know, they've got a sniffle, send them in. If we all kept them home constantly, they're never going to build up their immunity and we would never be able to work. So don't feel guilty about it. It's part of childhood, isn't it?
Alison, tell us who we're talking to.
Well, we got a little sneak preview.
Did I just butt in before I was even supposed to talk?
Totally so did.
I'm so sorry.
We got a little gem here.
I just love to chat. Right, I'm going to shtum go, Alison.
Today, we're joined by a kick-ass female entrepreneur. She's also very chatty, as you can tell. She's won her own clothing label. She's appeared on the BAFTA award-winning The Only Way is Essex. She's a solo mum to a nearly four-year-old, which frankly means she deserves a medal. And now she is the author of a gorgeous children's book, Mummy and Me. Welcome to the Netmums podcast, Lydia Bright.
Thank you, guys. Sorry, do you know what it is? I'm very hyperactive all the time and I always have got something to say, so I'm sorry that I butted in before I was supposed to.
I'll let you off.
No apologies needed. So did you ever imagine, way back when you were on TOWIE, that you'd be here writing a children's book?
No. Do you know what? When I first got asked to do TOWIE when I was 18, I think all of us were in the same headspace that we were like, let's do this. What a fun opportunity. When we're older, we can say that we were on telly once. Like, none of us really knew what was going to come from it. Like, the show didn't know what was going to come from it. Like, the team that made the show, nobody predicted where it was going to take us. And yeah, I'm 15 years on now. I'm still kind of in the industry and I'm still doing things off the back of the success of TOWIE. So no, definitely not. When I first did it, I thought it was just going to be, yeah, like a one-off, just something to tell the grandkids.
How did they find you? Because weren't you at sixth form with Arch?
No.
So how did they find this group of you know, 18-year-olds who wanted to be on telly?
Yes. So I was, me and Arch were actually, I was 18. I think Arch is 5 years older than me. So, I'd just finished my A-levels. James was kind of like working like dead-end jobs. I think at the time he was working in a jeweller's in East London. I left sixth form. I deferred a place at university for a year because I said that I wanted to go and work in a cocktail bar in Marbella.
Bring it on.
Went and did that. Oh, it was so good. It was so fun. I was like, you know, I've studied so hard. I need like a year just to have like some fun. Went and did a season out there. James came with me. He was singing in the bars there. And when we were away in the summer, all of this was kind of happening back home. Like, these auditions were happening. There was this idea that this show was going to be created around West Essex and like Brentwood. They started like pulling all characters in, and me and Arj broke up. This was like breakup 50 of 1,000. He flew home. His best friend Mark was on the show, so he got on the show, and basically the whole of season one, all he did was speak about how he wanted to win me back. So behind the scenes they were like, right, we need to find out who this Lydia girl is, because Arj is becoming like a family favorite. And we can't set him up on any dates or anything because he just wants to be back with this girl, Lydia. So they flew out to Spain and met me. I was like 18 at the time and had no money. And they were like, we'll fly you home. We'll put you on a plane and you only have to do one episode. If it's not for you, it's not for you. So I was like, brilliant. At least I get a flight out of it. And then I flew home and then I got on the show and that's how it happened.
You've been through your fair share of public highs, public lows since then. Overall, when you look back, are you glad you made the decision to be part of it?
Oh my gosh, 100%. So many doors and opportunities got open through doing The Only Way Is Essex. It's not like I ever grew up with like that mentality that I wanted to be famous. It was never like a goal or a dream of mine.
I thought you were going to stop there. It's not like I ever grew up.
I haven't grown up either, Wendy. I'm still as immature as I was back then. But yeah, it wasn't like I ever really had this like burning desire to be famous. I mean, I didn't have a talent. Like, we were the first structured reality TV show. So before us, it wasn't like you could ever be famous unless you were like an actor or a singer. It weren't like, yeah, there was nothing in me that had this burning desire to be famous, but the opportunity just came along for us all. We all just grabbed it, and yeah, oh my gosh, what a ride that we've had. We've been so lucky. I always say, like, you know, I think that I live by the motto, the harder you work, the luckier you get. You have to work hard at things, but equally, like, I've been so fortunate that I've been given like the most incredible opportunities in life. And who knows what the hell I would be doing had it not been for Towie. I don't know.
What do you think you would be doing?
Well, actually, I say this, and my friend wrote on my post the other day, one of my really good friends from school, and I was due to go to university to study English language. In my head, I always wanted to be a journalist. That was always, I think it was because I loved writing. I was also absolutely obsessed with Sex and the City, and all I wanted to do was be Carrie Bradshaw.
didn't we all?
So I always wanted to do writing. So in a way, weirdly, this new career that I'm kind of doing now is kind of what I always wanted to do. I mean, I'm obviously writing children's books and not sex articles, but I'm still writing.
So you've said that you've had years ago, you had this kind of preconceived idea of what motherhood would be like.
Yeah.
And that it was pretty tough when you were pregnant and you split up with Loretta's dad. If you could go back and tell pregnant Lydia one thing, what do you think it would be?
Stop worrying so much. I think when I was pregnant, where I was, like just really lost and just probably not in the best place mentally, I just dissected everything and worried about everything. I think as well, I say this quite often, that I think pre-children in general, you just worry more because maybe you just have the time to, your priorities are different. I think with maturity, age and children, you just worry less. But my biggest thing in pregnancy, was just worrying about people's judgments on me constantly, which is absolutely ridiculous now when I think about it. I was so nervous for it to come out that I was pregnant and I was doing it by myself. I was so worried sick that people would judge me.
I don't think it is ridiculous though.
And isn't that sad that you were worried more about what people would think of you than the concept of bringing up a baby on your own?
And it upset me. So it upsets me now because I think I really didn't have a great pregnancy. And I think, you know, that time in our life is such a small part of our life. You know, if I had three children, I'm only going to have 3 years of my life or just under that I'm going to be pregnant. And that experience with Loretta, it really wasn't a lovely experience. And I just feel sad that I let myself worry about things that really are insignificant. Do you know what I think it is as well? I think with me as well, where I've always lived my life, in the public eye as well, you know, my life has been open to scrutiny since I was 18, you know, more so, in my Towie days, because, you know, episode would air to 3 million people and, you know, they'd be straight on Twitter and having an opinion on you. I think that I grew up, I think, a lot trying to think that I had to like appease people and almost that I had to be this perfect sort of role model and do things a perfect way. So, yeah, I think if I could just tell myself now, I'd just say, don't worry, like live your life the way that you've got to live it. And you know, like you, people's opinions are just mere background noise. You know, you just, you dig deep and feel what you feel and what the people are around you, but you don't need to feel what other people who've never met are thinking of you. So, yeah.
So you found quite a lot of support, haven't you, from the single mum community and being involved in that community?
Definitely. As soon as I announced I was pregnant and I was doing it by myself, oh my gosh, I started feeling so empowered. It was before my announcement shoot came out that I was, yeah, really worried. And also as well, I was dealing with like first trimester, like I was constantly like sick and like anxious and, you know, all the joys that comes with that first trimester.
It's not a barrel of laughs, even if you're not dealing with all the other
stuff. Exactly, all those hormones. And yeah, I remember actually just before my announcement shoot came out, I was in hospital on a drip because my sickness was so bad. So, I mean, it was like, yeah, it was that first trimester. Yeah, it weren't the greatest moments of my life. But I remember when I finally revealed that I was going to be having a baby and I was doing it by myself. Oh my gosh, the outpouring of support that I received from single mums was incredible. Like, I almost think that when you become a single mum, you become part of this club. Like, we all just gravitate to each other. Like, if ever I'm out and about now, majority of the time that someone will ever approach me and talk to me, it will be a single mum, and they'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, Lydia, I follow you on Instagram. I'm a single mum as well. And it gets the conversation going. You almost become like a little club, like single mum club. And I got just so many like amazing messages. And, you know, people would, yeah, come up to me and talk to me. And I really felt like in that time, yeah, from first trimester onwards, I really felt like in that time, yeah, I still wasn't like 100% happy mentally. And I still was, you know, lost and like heartbroken. But I feel like that support that I received really did empower me. And it did make me find this kind of like strength.
That's so good. Now, you've already mentioned that you kind of have put pressure on yourself in the past to, I guess, live this perfect version of your own life.
Yes.
But how important is it to you? Because we know that life isn't like that in real life. You know, motherhood isn't like that. Single motherhood isn't like that. So how important is it to you to show the reality of single motherhood on social media? Because we see so much idealized motherhood content, don't we?
Definitely. Yeah, that is like a big thing as well that I think, as I said, comes with age, maturity, having children, pre-Loretta. I think, yeah, my social media, you know, I used it like a lot of influencers use it, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I used it sort of like an editorial magazine of my life, you know, and that's how lots of people use the platform. Every picture is like polished, color edited, the angles are like the perfect angles, and that's absolutely fine. I love following accounts like that. But as a mum influencer now, and I think as well, just because of I've been on reality TV and I have had to share, yeah, like the heartache and all of the kind of like, yeah, ups and downs of my life, I decided that when I had Loretta that I just wanted to be a lot more real on my platform and a lot more honest. So yeah, I do share the ups and downs, and you know, I do share that my child can be feral and rude and wild sometimes, but she's also like you know, very enthusiastic and confident, and she's got all these wonderful qualities as well. But I show, you know, the reality of it, that, you know, she can be hard work sometimes, and I wouldn't change that for the world, because I don't want a boring child. I want my child to be outspoken, and I want her to have all these bundles of energy, because gosh, I think I was like that as a child. She's never going to be shy, is she? Is she? So So I showed the reality. And sometimes I will set up a camera to film something that I think will be polished. For example, when I gave her my book for the first time and I hid the camera and I thought, oh, this will be a lovely piece of content, a magical moment of like sharing with my daughter that I've written a book for her and I've worked on it for all these years. And I gave it to her and it didn't go to plan. And I mean, I could have easily just reshot that and tried to do it again. But I thought, I'm going to share the reality. I'm going to share that my kid just absolutely doesn't care. She doesn't want me to read the book to her. She's got no interest. She's sitting there sulking. And people resonate with that more. Like, you know, that whenever I put like the polished things on Instagram, the numbers, like the views and the captions in comparison to the things that are, yeah, real and raw and honest, it's like it's so different. People don't want to, I don't think people follow me to see that stylized stuff.
Yeah, I love that video of her, you know, that magical moment that ended up being very real. It was good,
hilarious. My dad ends up getting the ump with my mum because she keeps laughing, so my dad's in the corner of the video like giving my mum a dirty look, and it's just normal family everyday life.
Yeah. So how important is it to you then that Loretta, when she does eventually let you read the book to her, how important is it to you that Loretta and other children have books that they can see themselves represented in?
This was like the whole inspiration behind writing the book. When I was pregnant and I was, you know, trying to buy anything that I felt would represent our family setup, I found that there just was a real lack of like single parent books, and everything that I did find was a very obvious messaging, which I didn't think a young child would feel that engaged in. So that's, yeah, kind of where I came up with the idea of just creating like this magical story that that is a single parent family on adventure and having magic, and the single parent strand being part of the book but also not taken away from the magic of the story, which I was finding a lot of books were. They just seemed a little bit like factual, and I wanted this book to be something that she just really enjoyed reading and wanted to keep picking up from the bookshelf and just love the adventure. And it just kind of have this strand of a single parent family within it. It's so important. You know, when I first wrote the book, it was that I was writing it for Loretta. And then the dream got bigger and I ended up getting an amazing publishing team, and the book kind of evolved and grew into what it is now. But the first, initial drafts I was writing were just for Loretta. But, you know, then I discovered that there's so many single mums out there. I think it's 15% of the UK families are single parent families, and majority of them are mums. So this book is for, all children to feel represented if they are from single parent families. But also as well, it's that whole thing that children need to see other family setups to become more inclusive people. They need to be... they need to see different races and religions in books. And, you know, that's how we're going to create the next generation of this really inclusive, wonderful people, is the more that we expose them to our wonderful differences and what makes everyone unique, because what a boring world it would be if we were all the same and we all had the same family setup. Do you know what I mean? It's like we have to embrace everything. Everybody's different.
It's still true. And I think that I have said this to you before, but the fact that the mum in the story is like, she just wants a quiet moment. She just wants to sit down and have a cup of tea. And as much as it's important for children to see themselves represented, all of the mums and the dads reading this will see themselves surely in this character.
Definitely. And that was the thing as well. Like when I say the book has evolved so much from that first draft, when I first started writing the book, of course, Loretta wasn't born. So I was kind of like basing it on like a mother and a daughter. And then naturally, as she was born and her personality evolved.
And you were tired.
And I was tired. The characters ended up just kind of like mirroring us slightly, mirroring our personalities and mirroring our life, which will be so many parents can relate to. Yeah.
But that's what makes it good, because it is so much more relatable than when you think back to, I think we possibly are all guilty of this, when you think back to what you imagine you're going to be as a parent when you're pregnant for the first time to the reality, they're just like this far apart. And if you'd published the book that you wrote when you're pregnant, it wouldn't have been real. It would have just been this idealized, oh, well, I'm always going to put her to bed at 7. She's never going to have chocolate and all of those things that we all tell ourselves that none of us do.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. So it's the book. Yeah. I just wanted it to be real. And yeah, for people to be able to relate to it. And this is the thing, yeah, I wanted it to be a book that not only the children enjoy, but also parents enjoy, mums enjoy reading it. And yeah, the way that I did that is kind of, yeah, making it just super relatable.
Well, speaking of reality, most of us have fairly real memories of lockdown, but you had an altogether different experience, didn't you?
I absolutely loved lockdown, and yeah, I sometimes feel guilty saying that, because obviously so much hardship came from COVID, but I always say if it was ever going to happen in my lifetime, it happened at the perfect time. Of course, I wish that it never happened, but if it ever was going to happen, it happened at the perfect time, because I've always had, you know, a very busy life, because I started TOWIE from such a young age, and I've always been, you know, filming and going to events and traveling with work and things, which has been incredible, and like I thrive off the chaos. But when you have children, you all of a sudden, I was like, all I want to do is be at home and be in this little like bubble, and lockdown gave us that perfect opportunity to just be at home. No kind of like pressures to see anyone or do anything. And it was, yeah, I just absolutely loved, just for once in my life being simple. Like all I had to worry about was, you know, making sure that the house was I was still working, but I was working from home. And yeah, I just really enjoyed the simplicity that came from COVID.
So 4 years on, Not quite 4 years on, but you're 4 years into being a mum now. What do you think, I'm going to ask, the best bit and the worst bit so far? Or maybe the proudest bit and the worst bit?
I would say the proudest bit, I think I look at my daughter all the time and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. I feel like this will never, ever get old. Like I'll just look at her, especially when she goes to sleep, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're mine. Like, it's crazy sometimes, isn't it? Like, I'm still doing it now, that I look at her and I think, I can't believe I created her. And yeah, she's mine. And yeah, and like, just, she's such a like amazing little character. Like everywhere she goes, she lights up the room, and she's so confident. And yeah, like, oh, she can be hard work sometimes for sure, but she does make me proud all the time. I'd say the worst part is, I just think sometimes for all of us, the juggle is just overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? Like juggling, you know, work, and even if you're not a working parent, like just life admin, like keeping on top of like the house and, you know, social events and filling your kids, doing enough with your kids, and just like the endless list. Sometimes that's like, that's the hardest thing, I think, that sometimes it just gets, life can get overwhelming sometimes.
The monotony, the endless having to do those tasks, the kind of monotonous tasks that just keep going.
It is. It's the endless juggle, isn't it? Like that's the thing, because of, I think, pre-children it's manageable, but then you chuck children in and it's double the work really, isn't it? So it's sometimes hard to manage everything. That's what I would say is the hardest thing. And, you know, I get to points sometimes where I'm like, call my mum up and cry on the phone. I'm like, I can't do everything, please. But then I'm very lucky that they always come in, my mum and dad, and, you know, my dad will come and pick up Loretta and they'll say, right, you know, we'll take her away for a couple of days. You can get your head down. You can crack on.
Oh,
so I'm so lucky. Like, my mum and dad are the best support.
Those first few years, though, I think when, you know, between like 1 and 4, 1 and 5 are definitely the most intense. So you're coming out the other end.
Yeah.
But you've said that now that you are kind of coming through the harder years, that you're perhaps more open to dating and meeting someone new. So I want to know, have you got your eye on anybody in particular?
I mean, not...
Chris Hemsworth and...
Oh, we're going to, like, write out a list. I mean, I don't...
Oh, we'll be here till tomorrow. We can't.
I feel like I've got, like, a celebrity crush, though. Do you know what is? I just think the most important thing in all of this is just, especially now that I've got Loretta, is just being with someone that makes me laugh. Because I just think, like... Like, obviously, I want to fancy them. Like, I don't want them to be a munter, but I you've got to find them physically attractive. Obviously, like, I've got, yeah,
got standards,
you've got,
right?
You've got to find them, like, attractive. Like, obviously, like, as shallow as it is.
No, you have to. That's not shallow.
Yeah, and the first time that you talk to someone, you talk to them not because their personality. You don't. If you approach someone or they approach you, you're approaching them purely based on physical appearance, aren't you? You don't know what their personality is going to be like. I have to have that chemistry and that physical attraction. But I think the most important thing in everything is just having someone to make you laugh. Because, like, going back to like that life is so busy when you become a parent, and especially, yeah, juggling work as well. So, you know, the time that I get off from work and get off from raising my daughter, I just want to be having a really good time and I just want to be laughing. So I think, yeah, that's like the number one, like, important thing. And just, yeah, just having that kind of, like, chemistry.
What do you think Loretta would make of a fella coming on the scene? Because you're quite a good little team.
Yeah, that's something that, like, I don't even know. Like, I've never got to the point where it's been at that. Like, yeah, like, I've dated and stuff, but it's never really got to that point. I don't really know. Like, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's always been us two and it's been so intense. So, because obviously we had lockdown for all those years and it's like we've lived in the house together and it's like she lives exclusively with me. She sleeps with me, apart from the odd sleepover that she has at my mum and dad's. She sleeps with me every night and has slept with me every night since she was a baby. So I don't know. It's like, I think that maybe that's why I'm saying more that I'm more ready now, though, because of she'll be starting school in September. So that will free up a lot more time, because I think that I would want to keep things separate initially.
Until you're sure. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sure as you can be about these things anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I try and not put too much, like, time frames on myself, because I just think, like, my mum always said, God makes plans and the devil laughs at them. And it's like I try and not ever say to myself, right, this is going to happen this year and this is my 5-year goal and this, because I just think, like, you don't know where life's going to take you, and I'll assess that situation when we come to it. But I think that it would I'd have to approach it delicately because of, yeah, it has been so intense for me and Loretta, and yeah, I wouldn't want her to feel pushed out.
So, final question for you, Lydia. Yes. Do you have any more books in the pipeline?
Oh my gosh, I would absolutely love to continue this journey because it's been so enjoyable. And I mean, I've dabbled my hands in many things over my career. It's like, sometimes I feel like I'm like Del Boy, like I've done so many things. I've had
You've got a multi-hyphen career, Lydia. That's what they call it, multi-hyphen. It's all the rage.
Oh, well, yeah. I've done so many things, but this I've really, really loved. And yeah, I've loved this because I am a mum now. And it's like, I love doing things that involve Loretta and involve my journey in motherhood. And look, it's been such a long process, but I feel like if we were to you know, carry on the adventures with the characters. Now I've got like the most amazing team and I've got the most incredible illustrator. So I feel like,
yeah, you've got the setup in place. You've exactly. got the foundations there. So now,
so I would absolutely love to continue.
Watch this space. Oh, thank you, Lydia, for joining us. It's been so lovely to have you come and chat with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Thank you. No, it was really fun, as always. I love talking on these podcasts. I could talk forever.